You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois talking about this morning some public policy issues. It's going to be one of those mornings. It's a little cold here. It's warm in the studio, but this is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We'll try this one more time. Talking about some public policy issues affecting you and the Catholic Church. Today, we are very excited to have two guests that will be with us shortly. First of all, we'll have Michael Culhane, who is the executive director of the Catholic Conference in Connecticut. A lot of C's, Catholic Conference of Connecticut, to talk about their experience recently undergoing changes in the standard definition of marriage. The state of Connecticut has, as of course many of you know, moved from public policies that promote civil unions to same-sex marriage via the courts. And also we'll be joined later on by Dave Smith from the Illinois Family Institute, who will talk a little bit about a rally in Springfield that was held last week, and it supported traditional marriage. And really what we want to try to do today is, as many of you probably are aware, there's been a lot of changes going on, a lot of attention in the state of California to the definition of marriage. We've all been witnessing some of the protests out there after that state had approved a definition of traditional marriage on the November ballot on November 4th, and which has led to some backlash, we believe, by some of the groups that support civil unions and same-sex marriage. And so really what we wanted to talk today about is how does this connect to what we are experiencing in the state of Illinois? This is an interesting public policy topic that has been in the media for the last 5 to 10 years, and we're seeing some changes go on rather quickly. What is marriage? What does it constitute? What is a civil union? And how does that fit into what we believe as Catholics? Does that fit into our theology? How do we interact with the public square? So what we want to do today is talk about all of those issues, and we want to hear your comments and your concerns and your suggestions and your guidance as well in terms of what should the church's role, what should the Catholic Church role be on public policy issues as it relates to marriage? Something that if you look at public opinion polls, there's a lot of conflict out there in the Catholic community about having civil laws conform to the Catholic definition of marriage. The number, if you want to call our show and join in our conversation, is 312-751-1979. And what we'll do this morning is maybe we'll start with Michael Culhane. As I mentioned, he's the executive director of the Connecticut Catholic Conference, and they've seen some they've had an upfront view in terms of the definition of marriage and civil unions. And we're going to be joined by him, I believe. Is he on the line? Mike, are you there?
Bob, how are you this morning?
Mike, I am cold. It is absolutely miserable here in Chicago. It is one of those cold, damp, rainy, snowy Monday mornings that I think we're all looking forward to Thanksgiving and taking a couple days off. How things in the East Coast are probably just nice and sunshiny and wonderful, right?
The sun is out. It's nice and dry, but it is on the chilly side.
Well, we have that in common. Yeah. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning. As I was saying in the brief introduction, you've had an upfront view on what's going on in the question of marriage and civil unions and how that all relates to the Catholic Church's lobbying perspective. Tell us a little bit about your experience with the question of civil unions and how that's sort of, if you will, for lack of a better word, morphed into same-sex marriage.
Well, let me begin by saying I just passed my first anniversary as executive director of the Connecticut Catholic Conference 2 weeks ago. So when the civil union legislation was debated in 2005, I was aware of the issue, obviously, from the paper and some issues that I dealt with at the Capitol. But civil union statute was passed in 2005. in Connecticut, and during the negotiating process, the definition of marriage as being between one man and one woman was included in that law. And subsequent to the passage, there were eight couples who wanted to get a marriage license, and they were denied. And the eight couples essentially were not satisfied with their civil union status, and they sued the Commissioner of Public Health. And that set in motion litigation that culminated on October 10th of this year, whereby the Connecticut Supreme Court, in a 4-3 decision, mandated that same-sex marriage be the law.
It seems
4-3 state of Connecticut.
It seems 4-3 decisions are common in the same-sex marriage debate. I think it was a 4-3 decision in California that enabled them to temporarily have same-sex marriage. And I think it was Massachusetts as well, where the courts were the ones that brought about the same-sex marriage after, I think, widespread support of civil unions, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's true as well.
Yeah. Also, I think on the line now, we want to bring in Dave Smith, who is with the Illinois Family Institute. Dave, good morning. You out there?
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Mike.
Great. It's good to
hear
you.
Hi, David. How are you? Very well. Thank you.
Dave is with the Illinois Family Institute. And as Mike was just saying, in Connecticut, they had passed some legislation regarding civil unions. In Illinois, we are not quite that far that along. In Illinois, there has only been legislation introduced on civil unions. But I think that many who follow this topic are a little concerned about how this could lead to same-sex marriage. And Dave, why don't you give us maybe a status of where we are in Illinois right now on the whole question of civil unions?
Well, in the spring of this year, Representative Greg Harris introduced a piece of legislation, House Bill 1826, that would legalize civil unions, or would create a marriage-like institution here in Illinois. And that bill was brought before a committee. I can't remember which committee that was, Bob, right now. But it was passed out of that committee by, ironically, a one-vote margin. And it is now in the Rules Committee in the Illinois General Assembly. Now, rumors are that during the veto session, which is ongoing right now, it's possible that that bill will be called for a vote by the House. With our lobbyists in Springfield, we think that they're short, the votes. Mm-hmm. But with lame duckers coming back to Springfield, you know, those who have been defeated
right.
won't be serving next session, it may be closer than we'd like. So we're encouraging all citizens of Illinois who believe in natural marriage and are against any counterfeits to call their state lawmakers and ask them to vote against this bill.
This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking this morning about civil unions and same-sex marriage and what's going on in Illinois and what has happened in other states, specifically Connecticut. And also, as we've seen the what happened after California passed same-sex marriage. So all these issues seem to be increasingly intertwined, and it appears that the states is the location where a lot of the public policy debate is going to take effect. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinions about this question on same-sex marriage and civil unions. Are the two related? Could it be possible to have civil unions and as a secular institution and let the marriage issue be solely dominated by the religious institutions? This is Bob Gilligan. We're talking with Michael Culhane of the Connecticut Catholic Conference and Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute. And we want to hear your opinions when we return after this brief message. So don't go away. Just the introduction to our topic today, and we hope to have a very interesting and fruitful conversation as we proceed. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Our annual celebration of giving is underway. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invite you to join in its celebration of giving this holiday season. I'm Father Mike Boland, asking you to help children and families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or better yet, hosting a toy gathering party. For more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-226-0650 or visit catholiccharities.net/celebration. Thank you for bringing joy to a family in need this holiday season.
Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference. We're back today talking about civil unions and same-sex marriage, what's going on in different states. And we are very grateful to be joined this morning by two people who have are experts on this topic and have had an upfront view of the changes in our culture and in our society as it relates to the legislature, specifically Michael Culhane from the Connecticut Catholic Conference and Dave Smith from the Illinois Family Institute here in Illinois. Dave, before the break, we were talking a little bit about where the bill is in that. And you're absolutely right that there is a concern in terms of when they come back in January for the final day or two that this issue could be addressed. And the bill number, once again, is 1826, correct?
That's right, Bob.
And the main sponsor is, I think it's Greg Harris, who is a state rep from the north side of Chicago, openly a gay individual who is advocating for the civil unions legislation. I think what we want to remind our listeners is that when the General Assembly comes back and the new General Assembly is sworn in, we will also have legislation more likely than not introduced on civil unions. Is that your understanding, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. Representative Harris has indicated that he is going to reintroduce this. And it, you know, it's a long-term process. They're going to keep introducing this until they've convinced enough lawmakers to have it passed.
Is that, Mike, do you think, I mean, for us here in Illinois, what's the goal? I mean, what are the some of the things that we should be concerned with? It seems like in Connecticut, you had civil unions. Well, I guess maybe we should even back up. Many states have enacted laws that call for domestic partnership benefits, which are those benefits that are enjoyed by heterosexual couples are extended to homosexual couples. Most specifically, municipalities seem to do that, et cetera. And that public policy initiative seems to address the question of a discriminatory provision in terms of benefits, health care, those sort of things. And it seems that, at least in California and maybe in Connecticut, after the enaction, after the enactment of civil, domestic partner benefits, that wasn't satisfactory. So then the next step was civil unions, and it seems like that was not satisfactory, which led to same-sex unions. Is that kind of the course of events in your state?
Well, I think the history of this type of legislation in Connecticut goes back to the early 90s, where there was legislation regarding a non-discriminatory prohibition
right.
on gay and lesbian couples. And from that genesis, just dealing with landlord-tenant relations, if you will, it grew in the 90s into the early 2000s, where everything was included in terms of non-discriminatory issues leading up to civil unions.
Dave, does that sound familiar?
We never had a domestic partnership.
Dave, does that sound familiar to you at all?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the end goal here is slowly getting the whole full recognition of the state. And recognition by the state is not sufficient if it's called civil unions. It's got to actually be the M word, marriage.
312-751-1979 is the phone number. And Mike, you're right. Actually, we did not. Some of these cities here in Illinois have done domestic partnership benefits. And as Dave just indicated, we did something similar here in Illinois. What was that, Dave? 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes. You're talking about 3186?
Right.
Yes.
Which was legislation that extended it prohibited some discriminatory practices towards homosexual couples, which was put in state law. And after that, I believe, Mike, is that's when after that civil unions were enacted, correct?
In Connecticut?
Yes.
There were many non-discriminatory statutes in the 90s into the early 2000s. It got into health care,
right,
you know, after landlord-tenant issues, and it just slowly chipped away, basically embracing every part of life, if you will, lacking that civil union status, which was achieved in 2005. And in Connecticut, this is just my personal impression, that they could have pushed post 2005 for the legislature to pursue same-sex marriage statutes. But it's my view, in Massachusetts they did the same, and I believe in California,
right,
where they went to the courts.
Right.
And that took the pro same-sex marriage legislators kind of off the hook, and they were putting their eggs in the judicial basket, if you will.
It's interesting to see, if you take a step back and analyze all 50 states and where we are. I'd like to hear your reaction. In my understanding, it's 30 for 30. 30 states that have had the question on the ballot have approved the definition of traditional marriage, the union between one man and one woman. So that's 30 of 30. That leaves the other 20 states out there. Of the 20, I would be willing to bet 10 of them have civil unions legislation, and two or three, through civil unions via the courts, have enacted same-sex marriage. So where is this issue going nationally? Do you think there's any movement towards a federal solution?
You want to ask me that?
Sure.
Well, you're right, Bob. The 30 states that have been done because there are citizen initiatives. Here in Illinois, unfortunately, as you know, Bob,
right,
we don't have a way to do that. It has to go through our legislature. And so we're really kind of held hostage. In Illinois, we have had a marriage amendment bill introduced for how many years now? It's probably three sessions.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 or 6 years, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's never been given a hearing by our leaders. It's not for lack of want by the people of Illinois. It's a lack of will by our state lawmakers.
Yeah. It's interesting to see that, because it does seem, if you can get it on the ballot, that when possible, that states seem to approve the definition of traditional marriage. But in states like Illinois, where getting things on the ballot are extremely difficult, that doesn't seem to happen.
You know, if I may, Connecticut's in the same boat, because we do not have initiative and referendum.
Yeah.
Our legislature this past election went 151 member house. The Democrats went from 107 to 114. Obviously, the ranks of the Republicans are diminished, and it's for us to even contemplate, to think about the General Assembly even considering any type of legislation.
Dave,
would just be folly.
Dave, going back to Illinois in terms of where we are in Illinois, the rally last week that was held in Springfield, give us a sense of how many people were there, who showed, what was the reaction that you experienced from your conversations with members of the General Assembly?
Well, it was fantastic turnout in the middle of the week on a November cold day. Well, actually, the Lord smiled on us. It was 50 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
So there were, you know, the different numbers I've heard, but I'm going to say 800 to 1,000 people showed up at this rally, where we prayed, where we talked about the issues at hand, and then we encouraged folks to go into the General Assembly, to their lawmakers' offices or to the actual rail where they were in session and talk to their lawmakers. I spoke to a number of lawmakers, and reactions varied, you know, from, hey, get me more information on that,
mm-hmm.
to, hey, you know, thanks for the information, but I'm pretty solid on this, I'm going to support it, or even some others who said, no, I'm totally against this, I'm a no vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, we need to get the information to some of those lawmakers who are on the fence, you know, information, for example, you know, as these laws are passed, as these special rights are given to the gay community, our religious freedom and our freedom of conscience are being eroded. I can give you example after example. Let me just give you a couple real quick,
mm-hmm.
Bob. In New Jersey, shortly after the Supreme Court there, the state Supreme Court, mandated civil unions, a Methodist church was stripped of its tax-exempt status because it wouldn't rent facilities to a lesbian couple who wanted to do their civil union ceremony. They are now being sued for discrimination. In New Mexico, a Christian photographer was fined $6,000 plus for discrimination because he wouldn't take photographs of a lesbian commitment ceremony. And, of course, in California, the state Supreme Court there unanimously ruled against two physicians who declined to perform in vitro fertilization for lesbian partners, even though those doctors were willing to provide referrals to other doctors. Our right to be able to live by the dictates of our faith are being eroded.
It's going to be an emerging conflict. There's an excellent book that's out recently. It's been edited by the Anthony Piccirillo, who's the general counsel of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, called Emerging Conflict, Same-Sex Marriage and Religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through a number of these sort of emerging conflicts, Dave, that you're referring to, the Boy Scouts cases, and Boy Scouts versus Dale, which they did prevail. But some of the ramifications of these decisions are very interesting to think about as we go forward. And we come back, I don't know if Connecticut has experienced any of those sort of situations yet, but Mike, we'll ask you if you've had any experience with anything like that since the enactment of that legislation out in Connecticut. This is Bob Gilligan. It is 9:22 a.m. We're talking about the question of civil unions and same-sex marriage. If you want to join our phone conversation here this morning with Michael Culhane of the Connecticut Catholic Conference and Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute, give us a call. The number is 312-751-1979. And we'll be right back after this message.
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with three sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois talking about the question currently on the table regarding civil unions and does it lead to same-sex marriage, yes or no? The number here is 312-751-1979. It must be a cold morning today. Maybe everybody slept in and is preparing for their Thanksgiving holiday. So anyway, the number is 312-751-1979. Mike, before the break, Dave was outlining some of the things that have happened in other states. Anything like that going on in Connecticut, or is it too early to tell?
It's too early to tell, but it clearly is a concern for us, not in
sure.
in terms of examples that David made in other states, but we may be confronting religious freedom issues before the legislature.
Yeah, and I think this is the sort of thing that, at least my experience has been, is it doesn't happen right away. These changes happen over time, and they happen subtly, and the law changes, and then a couple years go by, and before there's that sort of conflict. I don't think these things generally happen right away. And Dave, I would say, as in terms of evidence of my statement, I haven't looked in a while, but the numbers of people filing discriminatory complaints due to the legislation that was passed a couple years ago that you referenced, House Bill, I think it was 3186, that made it illegal to discriminate based on sexual orientation. I don't think the Illinois Human Rights Commission has experienced a high volume of discriminatory complaints as far as I know.
No, in fact, they've gone down here.
They've gone down.
And compared to other, you know, hate crimes, so-called
yeah.
hate crimes against people, you know, for skin color or race or gender, it's minuscule.
So there are more complaints on race and gender than on orientation as last time you looked.
That's right, absolutely.
That's my experience as well. That and so these things are sort of subtle, and then as time goes on and when the right opportunity comes up, that's when the law is used in terms of impeding on religious freedoms. 312-751-1979. We're talking about same-sex marriage and civil unions here with Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute and Michael Culhane of the Connecticut Catholic Conference. Any suggestions from either of you in terms of the best way to approach this issue? I think one of the challenges for the Catholic community is that our teachings require us to be very compassionate to people of different orientations. And I think in the Catholic community, this sometimes leads to confusion when you use this word tolerance, that we have to tolerate other behavior. Yet I think what's going on in secular society is that tolerance is now, if you will, stemming over into the affirmation of civil rights. How do we deal with these sort of questions? Dave, any words of guidance for us on that and how we can be compassionate and respectful to our brothers and sisters with a different orientation, yet at the same time oppose legislation that affirms a civil right based on a behavior that the church finds immoral?
Well, absolutely. You know, the first thing we have to do is make it very clear that we love every single human being. Every person is made in the image of God. Jesus died for their sins just as much for them as they did for us. And but that doesn't mean that we somehow tolerate their behavior, especially when they're pushing that behavior as good public policy. No one is suggesting that, you know, we outlaw homosexual communities, relationships, or any of that. But what we're saying is homosexuality as good public policy, officially recognized by the state, is not good public policy. There is a reason why natural marriage is being lifted up and recognized by the state, promoted, protected by the state. It's because it fosters, obviously, a good base for family, for children, the nurturing of the next generation.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, Mike, any comments? Or
I couldn't agree
yeah.
more. And there seems to be you're with us or against us.
Yeah, good point.
You know, in terms of the gay community, and I've been asked that a lot since the Kerrigan decision came down. And, you know, we learned early on, you know, that you hate the sin but not the sinner, if you will. But I think more importantly, you're dealing with an institution, the institution of marriage, which has such a hard and fast foundation in the natural law, dealing with family and children, and it is that institution which comes under attack when you're dealing with same-sex marriage. The other thought I have is we were extremely disappointed with the decision of the Connecticut Supreme Court. We analyzed our options, and because the decision is based on the state constitution, there's no federal route that we can follow in terms of any appeal. And we are, you know, together. I think we're prayerful, and I think we're mindful of this change. And it bothers me in California, where the decision of the people went in favor of upholding marriage as an institution, that the gay and lesbian community, from what I've only seen on TV, that they are going ballistic. You know, and that type of aggressiveness, you know, where they, from what I understand, have the list of people who contributed in favor of Prop 8, that these people are being targeted and harassed. And
not very tolerant of the democratic process.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. We take a quick break. Jim's telling me it's that time again. It's 9:31 a.m. here in Chicago. Let's follow up on that point when we come back in terms of tolerance of the religious community's right to express its belief, and it did so in California. Who's doing it? What's behind it? Once again, if you want to join our phone conversation here today, our conversation with Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute and Michael Culhane of the Connecticut Catholic Conference. We're talking about civil unions and same-sex marriage and what's going on in Illinois and other states as well. This is Bob Gilligan. The phone number is 312-751-1979, and we'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever, a great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, "You rock."
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I've listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
The
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. I don't know if you guys can hear the commercials at the break. Could you hear those?
Yes.
Did you hear the one about marriage?
Yep.
Yeah. What have you done for your marriage today? And I know personally, I know Mike Culhane, and I can tell you that Mike does very well the obey and listen. I can tell you that. I know. And Dave, I'm sure you do too.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Yeah, aren't we all? I had nothing to do with that ad being put on at the break, but I'm so glad they did. Welcome back to our conversation. It's Bob Gilligan, 312-751-1979, talking a little bit about same-sex marriage and the question of civil unions. It's 9:35 a.m. here in a very cold, cold morning here in Chicago. I believe we have a phone call on the line. Peggy, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Welcome.
I wanted to say something. You know, it's the last thing, the protest after Proposition 8. I was listening on the radio, and of course, even though they have sound bites, they're a lot longer than they are on television. And I heard about this grandmother, you know, just a little old lady, okay? And I'd been kind of soft on homosexuality. I mean, after all, they always present them as nice, sweet teachers and all this sort of stuff. And you think, well, civil union's great. All of a sudden, I heard another side where this was a protest, right? And I remember Martin Luther King, you know, and his quiet little protests and stuff that pierced the conscience of a nation.
Sure, nonviolence.
Right. It was nonviolent.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, I didn't see it, but I heard it, and this guy was screaming at this little old lady. And I understand from the commentary it was really intimidating,
mm-hmm.
and it was really nasty, and I thought, what about my grandmother? Would I want anybody's grandmother to be treated like that?
Right.
It was a protest, you know, and I'm thinking, that maybe this is their true face, and the other is a false face.
Mm-hmm.
And I had better get started, because, you know, it's like there are certain animals in nature that present a very pleasant face until they get within striking distance, and then their fangs come out, and they kill you. You know, I mean, you have to find out what something is truly like. And when they have power, that's when you find out what they're really like.
Yeah. Thanks. Any comments, Dave or Mike? Or
you know, Bill O'Reilly had that clip on. There's a YouTube clip of it. I've seen it. But Bill O'Reilly recently had that on his program as well. And it really is disturbing what's going on. There was also a case in Michigan where a bunch of homosexual activists invaded Assembly
Church.
Of God church.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
An Assembly of God church. They went out and two lesbians went up to the pulpit, started making out. There was a bullhorn that was brought out talking about how Jesus was gay. Pamphlets were spread all over the sanctuary. And glitter was, and of course, as a former church janitor, I know how hard it is to get glitter out of the carpet. So anyway, it was very disturbing that they would be invading a place of worship, just like they did here. Anti-war activists did
that,
at Holy Name.
Yeah. Peggy, thanks for your call. I know that's been going on in some areas of the country. I think we've seen some of the video from California, and I did see that video in Michigan where some individuals went in and disturbed a service, and that's quite upsetting, I think, to anybody in terms of that sort of behavior. And, you know, I think what Peggy brings up is a good point. I think we were alluding to it earlier in our conversation about tolerance and how we as Catholics are called to love all people regardless of their orientation. But yet, that does not mean, and I think for some, this is the hard part, which is how do we continue to engage those of a different orientation in the debate, you not affirm them certain civil rights like marriage that has been traditionally defined as the union between one man and one woman. I think that's an increasingly difficult problem because if you look at some of the public opinion polls, I think you see that civil unions, putting it in layman's terms, is almost treated as for lack of a better term, marriage light.
Right.
It's not same-sex marriage. It's something other. But I think it's interesting when you look at the definition in statute, and Dave, I think in House Bill 1826, we see this, is that a civil union is really a union that's similar, if not the same, as marriage. It references marriage. So what's the difference?
Well, Representative Greg Harris copied the marriage code in Illinois,
right,
verbatim, and then called it civil unions. And there were some objections to that because the word marriage was repeated throughout the statute or the proposed statute. And so he removed all but three references to marriage, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
But who's he kidding?
Now it refers to spouses.
Spouses, right.
Yeah. We've taken another break. Don't go away, anybody. It is 9:39 a.m. here in Chicago, talking to Michael Culhane of the Connecticut Catholic Conference and Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute. Our topic this morning is same-sex marriage and civil unions. What's going on in Illinois? What has happened in Connecticut? What's happened in California? 312-751-1979. We'll be right back.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
On. This is Bob Gilligan. We're back. It's 9:42. We are definitely firing on all cylinders here today. I think Jim is so ecstatic that Bears won 24-3 yesterday. He just can't seem to get things right here this morning. Anyway, we're moving, and it's a little difficult here because everything's packed up in boxes, and we're moving from the Pastoral Center to a new Pastoral Center across the street at Quigley. But we're gonna make it here in the next 18 minutes. We have another caller in the line. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
John, thanks for calling. Question and comment?
Yeah, thank you. This is a comment, really. Basically, I don't expect much from the church. I'm a faithful Catholic. I think I know plenty of the teachings. I'm involved with pro-life and other social issues. I really don't expect much change by the culture. There's some talk that it's really going to take some kind of martyrdom or some kind of great conversion for the culture to change. I don't see the Catholic Church taking a proactive, truthful, basically real good, strong stance on this. I rarely hear it from the pulpit, and I've heard priests that have talked about the same-sex issue get letters and basically stop talking about it. So I expect the Catholic churches, and I don't mean to be pessimistic or like mean-spirited, but I expect us to lose our tax-exempt status because we're going to finally have to start talking about this when the Supreme Court or some kind of courts or states overrule the people. They're going to overrule their vote, and then what's going to happen, this is my view and it sounds a little extreme, they're going to take it to us. They're going to say, no, you are not going to be receiving your tax-exempt status, and then finally, it'll be too late. We might get involved in the issue. This is basically about physiology and natural law and how we unite with our bodies. We don't even explain or discuss it. I am so disgusted with the church not teaching what it has in its documents, in its law, in its it's so into our teaching and all throughout Scripture and natural law and just it's science, and we cower. We like hide behind something.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's going to call us intolerant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's not going to help the problem.
Yeah, John, obviously a lot of passion there, and I think you have some points. Mike, did you want to make a comment, or I will after you, or do you want me to go be first? in Connecticut, Mike, did you experience anything like that in terms of the pulpit, people?
I have a handful of thoughts just from phone calls I've received and literally thousands of emails. The vast majority are supportive of the church's position, but there are others who have raised similar questions as the caller has raised.
Right.
I have met with the Presbyterian councils in the three dioceses of Connecticut, and I wish pastors would take a more positive, active stance on same-sex marriage and other issues dealing with the social teachings of the church, and some are right out there, and others, for whatever reason, are a little more bashful.
Yeah, good.
I mean, is that...
Yeah, Mike, there's a reason why you're a lobbyist. Dave, any comments? Dave, you have a very interesting viewpoint from this in terms of you're not being Catholic, but you're being involved in the movement. And I know you and I had many conversations a couple years ago trying to get signatures and the Catholic community involved in the effort to sign on to defining marriage between one man and woman. And we met with a lot of resistance, as you'll recall.
Well, absolutely, and it's not just limited to the Catholic Church. It's widespread. The Evangelical Church, the Protestants, they all have I shouldn't say blanket, but there are problems in certain churches statewide, nationwide, reluctant to address this issue. We're just too comfortable. I think your caller was right, though. We're so comfortable in this country, it may take something as extreme of losing our rights to live by our faith, losing our tax-exempt statuses for our churches, to wake up and finally realize this whole notion of tolerance is nothing but a ruse.
You know, it was interesting. I had alluded to the book earlier. It's called Emerging Conflict, Same-Sex Marriage and Religion. And also, I'll impart this, is Mike, our colleague, Ned DeLessi from California, has actually been on this program before. And I was talking to Ned in October, and he had indicated that the danger for the Catholic Church in if same-sex marriage type legislation passes in any state is that, I'm kind of paraphrasing, he said, one place you don't want to be in law is to be an officially recognized discriminatory organization.
Right.
He said that just leads to a lot of daily, day-to-day problems that I don't think many people are thinking through. And in the book that I just alluded to, they talk about, for example, in a climate where same-sex marriage, and you may be experiencing this, is the law of the land, and you are a church that wants to, for example, get a liquor, let's say, an approval for an open outdoor festival that the church has to have, and has to go before the city council or the local alderman or city council's office. You know, if you are officially an organization that discriminates, that could lead to some, you know, very difficult times proving that you could get a license to serve alcohol for a fair or that sort of thing. There's just a lot of technical things that you face when you are officially in a discriminatory organization in law.
Question?
I don't know. It's just a comment. I don't know if you have any reaction to that, but
I mean, your example, I think, is just one of a number.
Many.
that really are problems and pitfalls that loom on the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. John, I think it was John. Thanks for your call. I appreciate your passion, and I think by the comments that you received from both of our guests, I think you can see that there's reason to be concerned. There's absolutely reason to be concerned. 312-751-1979. We have another 11 minutes or so on our show, but I'm told we're going to take a quick break for the final 10 minutes of our program, so don't go away. We have some questions that people have asked, and I will try to address them as best I can in the final 10 minutes, but if you want to chime in, we have some time to do so. 312-751-1979, and we'll be back after this brief message.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
This is Bob Gilligan, and we're back. We have not gone away yet. It's 9:50 a.m. in Chicago. We had a caller or two that had asked some questions. One was, if people are attacking churches, interrupting services, can they be arrested and prosecuted? And the answer is absolutely yes. We saw that recently in Chicago here around Easter. There was a protest where some protesters, I can't recall the name of the group, Catholic schoolgirls, something protesting against the war, and they had sprayed fake blood during the Mass.
Yeah.
And they were charged. There were six of them, and I don't recall. I think some of them pled to lesser charges. Yes, they can be arrested and prosecuted, and they have been. And I can tell you, we were criticized for doing so. Some people felt that we should not have press charges, but we did so. I think it all worked out in terms of the negotiations for a lesser plea, and they have been sentenced. And I think there was another question about discriminatory practices with regard to hospitals and abortions and being coerced to do so. And as of right now, there's no laws on the books that coerce a Catholic hospital or a Catholic healthcare institution, at least in Illinois, to perform an abortion. There is legislation being contemplated at the federal level through the Freedom of Choice Act, and I think we've talked about that legislation on the air today in the past. And the Freedom of Choice Act is merely been introduced, and we're certain it will be reintroduced when the next Congress comes in. But at least as of right now, there's nothing on the books in Illinois. There's a Freedom of Choice Act. Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act in Illinois that prohibits that sort of activity, those sort of mandates. It's 9:52 a.m. here in Chicago, and we have another caller on the line. I think it's Kathleen. Kathleen, are you with us?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
In regard to the priests,
yeah.
Bashful priest versus a non-bashful priest.
Sure.
Okay. The ones that are not bashful, why don't they have solidarity, get together, make a good video, and mention, proselytize or evangelize, if you will, what their stand mm-hmm. is in no uncertain terms
mm-hmm.
based on the
teachings
the
of the church?
Deposit of faith.
Sure.
Is what we have to stand by, and that is what is going to give us the courage. It's not coming from us. It's coming from Jesus himself.
Yeah.
Okay, so a video coming from the priests who are not bashful.
Kathleen, just two things. The Knights of Columbus actually has sponsored such a video, and I don't know if I've seen it yet, but it came out of the New Jersey Catholic Conference. Mike, have you seen it at all? I know I've heard about it. I don't know if I haven't had the opportunity to take a look at it.
I have not seen it, but I've talked to our colleague Pat Brannigan, and I'm aware of it, but I have not seen it.
Kathleen, it exists, and if you call our office, I'm sure we can arrange to have you at least take a look at it. And I have to admit, I've been negligent in terms of taking a look at it, but there is one out there. And thanks for your phone call, by the way. That's been done. You know, the other comment I should add is we've had two phone calls about the church taking in the pulpit, taking a more active stance on this issue. And I think for all the listeners, and Mike, I'd like to hear your comments as well. And I think for everybody out there is I think they need to recognize that this is a difficult subject. And as has been brought up, it's difficult for some people to hear the message. And I guess the only other thing I could say is that in terms of encouraging your pastor or your associate pastor to talk about these topics, I think when we do so, we also need to be supportive of them in terms of not only urging them to do so, but if they do, to express some support to them for doing so. I think oftentimes we have this sort of tendency as lay people to put the burden on the pastor, the associate pastor, or the bishop, and then just sit there. And then when criticism comes, there's no counter support for taking a tough position. I see that a lot. Mike, has that been your experience as well?
I would ditto that in the four dioceses of Connecticut, that it's easy to sit back and say Father Smith, you know, can really go out and drum up support on a particular issue, and Father Jones can't or won't. But they really need the encouragement and the support to do so, and I think that we could spend more time and a little more effort in
sure.
that direction.
As the kids say, you know, they got your back or something, and that's probably applicable in this situation in terms of affirming somebody who's willing to take a stance. I know the Knights of Columbus has also been very active with this issue. Mm-hmm. I know they've approached the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops for assistance and support, and I know they played a key role out in California, not only with funding but getting the word out, et cetera. Have the Knights been very active out in Connecticut?
Very active.
Yeah.
And they are headquartered in New Haven, right down on Long Island Sound, and they are supportive, you know, obviously to their home state. And, you know, across the country, they've been supportive the support of Proposition 8.
Right.
We had a constitutional convention placed on our ballot this past November, which is once every 20 years. There's a question about the repeal or the amendments to any state constitution. And with the Kerrigan decision coming down 3 weeks before Election Day, the Catholic Conference was on the radio and commercial and cable TV as well, supporting the yes vote, and we were supported significantly by the Knights of Columbus. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. the no vote coalition won, and that would have enabled us to pursue an initiative referendum in our Constitution, and that failed.
Dave, in the final 2 minutes or so, House Bill 1826, we have a couple days left in January. What happens from there? I mean, Illinois Family Institute will be involved with getting the word out, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
What happens after January?
Well, the whole thing will start all over again in the new session. Representative Greg Harris will reintroduce his legislation. It'll have to go through the hearing again. Maybe we could stop it in the committee this time.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage anyone who's interested in receiving information on that, go to our website, illinoisfamily.org. Sign up for our email updates. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on and tell you how you can take action and who to contact. We need to let our lawmakers know that we oppose any kind of counterfeit marriage, whether it's same-sex marriage, civil unions, or domestic partnerships.
We have one caller on the line, and Peter, I'm sorry that maybe we could get to you in like 30 seconds. Peter?
Yes.
Are you with us? We have about 30 seconds. Go.
Finally, to the point, at least us timid conservative Catholics, to finally name names and admit honestly, in all sincerity, that Mayor Daley is a scandalization to the Catholic Church. You brought up a trivial point, but I think it's very important about the liquor licenses. So he takes the Catholic vote for granted, and if you back traditional things and Catholic things, and you go to Daley for a liquor license, he won't give it to you. Isn't he a scandalization for backing Obama?
Yeah, that's a whole other topic probably. Peter, thanks for your call. I'm sorry we only have a couple seconds here. And before we go, I wanted to thank Mike for joining us here from Connecticut. Very insightful comments on what's going on in your state with regard to civil unions. And, of course, to Dave Smith. Dave, thanks so much for joining us as well.
Thank you, Bob.
We have enjoyed the conversation today. We're going to sign off now here at 9:59 a.m. And join us for the next show on the third Monday of the month of December. Our final show here from the Pastoral Center will be at Quigley next month. This is Bob Gilligan, and thanks for listening, and thanks for calling, everybody. And we will join you next month in the month of December. Have a good day, everybody.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.